Hey everybody, welcome back. It's Barry Friedman with Showbiz Blueprint, and we're actually doing a series of 8 interviews talking about the show of show business. So a whole different departure, but just as important, right? I mean, it's funny, I have this thing at the beginning of Showbiz Blueprint where I say, you have to assume your show is good enough to book in the markets you want to be. We're just going to talk about the business side of it, how you make the connections and book that. And then during Showbiz Blueprint 2018, I had this idea of, why don't we ever talk about the show? It'd be good. And I know so many friends. So today I'm really happy to bring you guys two friends who have mastered one particular niche of this business. And it's something that I think could interest a whole lot of people in this program. I know we have people who already work in it. So we're going to talk today about what makes an excellent show, A, for kids, but specifically for schools, schools assemblies, things like that. Welcome, Obadiah and Mark. So good to have you guys both
Thank
here.
Thank you. Our pleasure.
Great to be here.
Yeah, thanks, man. And can you run through just a tad of performer history? Like, where does all this start? Where does it go? Just so people have some context for listening.
Let's see. Well, we met each other in 1999. I was doing stand-up comedy and a lot of preschool shows. We met because we were both doing mall shows. And Mark used to tour with a rock band.
Yeah, my background's as a musician, actually a kind of a show musician. I got my feet wet being a straight man in a kind of a Vegas kind of group, you know.
And, sure, you can see that all over you. Yeah.
Yeah. And when I had kids, I had to settle down, couldn't travel as much, and got into children's music and doing
very cool.
Yeah.
So let me ask you about where the blend happened in 1999. You guys meet, and did you start work thinking about schools and kids back then?
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, we started the first shows were like mall shows, and we were doing a straight man comic thing. I'm the comic. He's a straight man, and so I play the kid on stage. He plays the parent, which works out well for schools. I think it was 2 years before we actually got up on school on performing for schools with our show 200 Years of American Music, and it was great. I'm playing trumpet, he's playing guitar, we're singing songs, we're dressing up like the Andrews Sisters on stage,
and now we have about 10 different shows. We have 10 different original shows.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And that, I mean, it's funny, this 200 years, what you guys I think have done, and I see it in the titles of your shows, the topics you talk about. You've kind of found the problem and that people are dealing with, and you've done the smart thing about marketing and get in the way of what's there instead of saying, hey, come over here and look at what we're doing. So what was the problem that the music show solved, or did it solve one?
Yeah, well, that was back in 2001. And the first problem they had is that a lot of schools were cutting out their music programs. So we were the replacement. And I was like, we don't have a music teacher. So they brought us in. It wasn't us planning that out. We didn't. We wanted to do that show because we wanted to do that show.
Right.
And, we want to bring arts into schools. But if we had to live on 200 years of American music, we wouldn't.
It wouldn't have cut it. No. Yeah. I think when we initially started, Barry, we thought, hey, let's do shows we think they need. Cool. Yeah. And then we realized we need to find out what they really need.
Yeah. I love it, man.
I got to tell you, in 2001, we had sent out 500 mailers to schools on probably late August or early September. And then September 11th happened. And everybody wanted to go patriotic. And we had the answer for that. So we booked a lot of shows that first year because they needed that. And that was nice to be there.
And that was the 200 years of American music.
200 years of American music,
wow.
Right.
I mean,
yeah. It's just that was a...
Yeah, that was a silver lining in a dark cloud, really.
Yeah.
Holy
cow. The next show was the Wright Brothers, and the next show was A History of Rock and Roll, and then ever since then, it's all been curriculum-based. Those are really arts-based, and now we're going for curriculum-based. Success in school, bullies, character, recycling, environmentalism, things that they specifically told us they need.
Yeah. Environmentalism, right.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm trying to take some notes because this is good. We should be taking notes on this.
Yeah.
This is really good. So the Wright Brothers was a bit of a continuation of the 200 years of music. It was kind of like what you guys liked and you thought you could sell, still not looking at what do they actually need and how can we
right,
how can we be the scratch to that little itch they have. And how did that one go? Did you guys like talking about the Wright brothers?
Oh, I think it's a great show. It's just we build a plane on stage. I designed this plane out of PVC. It's 20 feet wide, which is half the size of the original Wright brothers thing. And when it's done, you see the Wright brothers plane on stage, and him and I are building it. It's our least favorite. Well, I don't know if it's our least favorite.
Well, it's our hardest, most difficult show.
Because we have to wear costumes and hats, and we're taking off things and building this plane.
It's a lot of work. We get a great response. In fact, it's responsible for getting us into some performing arts centers and theaters. More than any other show.
Yeah, really. It's a great theater show for kids because we talk about we're going to play these parts. That's the opening. You're going to be Wilbur. I'm going to be Orville, and we're going to act like these people and tell the story. And I think for kids, it's a perfect first theater experience. We even do the theater of the mind where we have a sound effect and the plane goes right over the top, goes from left speaker to right speaker, and mm-hmm. he leaves the stage and comes out of the other side. Great show.
So good.
Yeah,
I was just reading recently that an airplane has about 6 million parts. Yours had less, I take it.
It seems like 6 million.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, exactly. When you're packing it up.
Yeah.
Oh, man, so funny. So, Historic Roll, and then Historic Roll again, back to your musical roots, which is great. I mean, using what you guys have. When did you start playing trumpet, Obadiah? Was that?
Started in fifth grade. That's my college degree is jazz trumpet. Yeah.
Oh, man, so good. You guys really use the skills you had. And then when did it turn curriculum based? What year are we at when you?
Oh, God, was it?
Maybe about.
It was H2O, I think. Was.
Yeah, actually, yeah, that was our fourth show.
Fourth show was H2O.
We were actually approached by a water district. You know, water is an issue here in California. Right. That's the problem that needed to be solved. People need to conserve more. Kids need to learn about that. So we got sponsorship from water districts, and that's kind of how that one came about.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
But again, it wouldn't have happened if it weren't for the Wright Brothers musical. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right. So that's really interesting. But the water districts, this is a problem they want to solve. They probably have some budget for it. So you guys jumped into that. And are these shows hard for you to put on? Or by the time you're here, you're what, fourth, fifth show, you're kind of just like, here's what we need. Here's the template.
Yeah, I think they're getting easier and easier to write. Yeah, and we're writing better. We're taking elements and we're taking templates. So it's like, okay, I remember what we did in this show. Let's do that type of
thing. I'm actually having the opposite experience.
Oh, really?
They're getting more difficult. I think my standards are higher, and I realize, there's a lot of, you know, it's kind of like as we get older, we realize how little we really know, and we thought we knew a lot a long time ago.
Man, don't tell young people that. My 16-year-old is like, he's sure he knows everything. It's crazy.
I'm writing one right now that it's pretty much complete about kindness, and it's gone through some iterations, and that's a real difficult topic because it's easy to write about something tangible like recycling or water, but it's more difficult to write about something like kindness.
Definitely. So then the bullies, the character, recycling, environmentalism, all these pieces that somehow work into the curriculum, core curriculum, the what schools are teaching, you know, what their job is. So congratulations on you for, you know, getting away from what felt so good. And I mean, I've seen Obadiah live. I wish I'd seen both your show, but I've seen him a few times. And, you know, it's just raw. It's out there. It's edge of the world. It's like every talent, you know, aimed at, you know, what they say the show needs to be. But, boy, it's just pure joy and really neat to watch. So can we move into the piece of, you know, what makes a great, we threw the word template around like there's any such thing in making a show, but what makes a great school assembly in your guys' opinion, you know, together or individually, whatever you think?
It's communication. You got to hit communication. You got to take that message and drive it home. But of course, with kids, you can't lecture them. So it's got to be fun. It's got to be fun. You got to hide the message and bring it out there.
I would say you can't lecture people in general. And I think that applies to not just kids. A lot of what we learned about doing shows for kids, for elementary schools, et cetera, I think applied to pretty much any age, some of the basic, you know, principles. Like you can't get up there and lecture people. You just can't do that.
Yeah.
There are certain techniques and formats that work well, whether you're a 5-year-old or a 50-year-old, in the audience. Storytelling, for example, works well. Role-playing, comedy, music. There's a lot of things that work well. Lecturing is just one of those that just does not work well.
Yeah.
Lecturing is a problem. I mean, at any age, it's we don't want to be lectured to. And I mean, you guys hide it so well. I remember watching Obadiah's show the second time I saw it at a school in town here. It was like, it was the quick, was it 40 minutes, 45 minutes? What you
did? 45 minutes. Yeah.
It seemed like the kids literally loaded up. And I think I set this camera in the back to do a stop action of the whole show. And it seemed over. It was just that quick. So yeah, that's no room for lecturing. How do you guys deal with behavior and stuff like that? That's something we don't need to deal with mostly in adult shows.
Yeah. Well, school shows are so much different than bar mitzvah shows or birthday parties because they're in an environment where discipline is expected. They come in the classroom and they know that in that show, if they're out of line, their teacher can pull them out. Bar mitzvah, not going to happen. Birthday party, so I think mostly we don't really have.
Yeah, and to be you know, honest and, you know, we're proud of the fact that our shows are very engaging. Mm-hmm. We try to keep their attention and do something interesting every single minute of the show.
Yeah.
And every minute or even more than that, do you think?
Yeah. Every second, you know. Yeah, and we go through and we polish and we trim, we look at video, we find ways, oh yeah, that we don't need that sentence right there. We could shorten that sentence. We could do something visual right there. Mm-hmm. We could have a joke right there and teach them at the same time. We could turn that into a song. There's lots of, we try to critique it and make every single second work in a very engaging way. Mm-hmm. And again, if you do that, then it doesn't matter you know, that you don't have a behavioral problem.
That's fantastic. What do you think one of the unique or one or two of the unique challenges of the school market are that don't exist anywhere else?
In terms of the show part of it, you mean?
Yeah, it's in terms of being hired there and being, you know, an option, being long-term option.
I think there's the three audiences.
Yeah, I was just thinking that.
There's three audiences.
I see.
The students. There's the teachers and principal, and there's the PTA.
Yeah.
And they all have a little bit different, well, a lot of different things that they want out of the show. And I think a lot of times we are having so much fun. The kids are laughing so much. Principals are like, oh, they're kind of silly. Let's not get them back. We need somebody who's going to lecture more.
So there is a fine line. You have to really teach, inspire, motivate for the administration and for the teachers to think this is worth our time away from the classroom. But you also have to entertain. So there's a balance there, and there is a fine line.
Yeah. Now, there's a show we do that manages that because it's called Say Yes to Success. And we pull down banners as we go. We're talking about goals. We pull down goals.
Goal.
Yeah. We talk about retry. We pull down retry, excel, attention, training, you know, doing things over and over, which spells great. Teachers love those acronyms.
They love acronyms.
They love them. You see posters all over with acronyms. But at the end of the show, the teachers, the principal said, what did they learn? Oh, they learned goals. They learned retry. They learned Excel. It's right there in big, bold letters that they learned something. And the kids, you know, whatever. They love the part that I came out in a diaper.
Right.
To demonstrate something and pretended to be a baby. And they're just cracking up about that.
Yeah. So we're always mindful of, what do the teachers want to see? What do the kids want to see? Yeah. And trying to do both.
I think we're doing a lot of, is it metaphors? Like the chair is a metaphor, right? For doing excellent work. We create a chair and I ignore his instructions and it falls apart. But then I listen to his instructions and it works.
And
we're trying to demonstrate something through.
Metaphors make it artistic. It gives it a new depth. But at the same time, kids don't deal well with symbolism. They need it to be really obvious. They can't interpret. They can't infer, I guess is the right word, things. So you have to make it really obvious. But if you throw in a metaphor or some sort of symbolism, the teachers go, aha. Or maybe the real bright kids go, aha, I get what you're doing there. Yeah.
Is Obadiah in a diaper? Is that a metaphor? My brain basically froze when you said that. I've been locked up ever since.
Yeah, that's just straight blatant comedy. But no, we have a educational message in that as well.
Gotcha. Okay.
Demonstrating training. Everybody learns how to walk, and so I go through the process of learning how to walk and talk, and the kids say, "Oh yeah, that's right. We all did that, and we all had to practice it over and over
again." Yep.
And
So, did you guys ever have an idea for a school show or something that you just thought, "Oh, this is going to rock it," and then it failed?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, there's
that Luno Muno thing we tried.
Oh, there's been a few, yeah.
Oh my God, you guys turned away in disgust from each other when you said that. I want to hear. Like,
I don't want to deal with that. Even this
show I'm doing right now, Kindness, is a solo show for me.
Yeah.
Originally, I wrote it for two other performers because there's other performers in our company, and it kind of bombed. It was totally my fault. Or at least partly my fault, just wrote it. The writing was terrible. Then it went to another iteration, and then finally this new one. And so I could say, yeah, those first few iterations really bombed. And to be honest, there are some shows that we did when I look back that we stuck with, but initially, like History of Rock and Roll, for example, mm-hmm. initially, the Water Show too, the H2O, yeah. Where Did You Go? Oh boy! Initially,
because we've written so many new shows. It's for me, it was really painful to write a new show and perform it because you just you're doing it for the first time and it's just and it's lousy. It's not up to your standards, and so that's a really painful thing. But the last show we wrote together was the Say Yes to Success, and that's by far the best show ever. But the first couple times, you gotta do it. Got to get over that. But we're creative beings and we have to be creative. I mean, that's what people expect from us. That's what, imagine an actor who just does one great movie and all his fans are like, okay, I've seen that movie three times. What else you got? And so.
Gotcha.
Got to come out with that new thing.
Yeah. So, and then there's a great repeat business market in schools. I mean, and holy cow. And I imagine you guys both lean into that and teach about it. What percentage of it needs to be new, even though the kids kind of move up?
There's one school, they booked us six times in a row back when we had six shows. And they said, they booked every different show. And they said, well, what do you have new next year? I was like, well, you know what? You could repeat because we've gone through, and they didn't want that. It's like, what the hell do you want from us, man? We give you six different shows and you won't repeat one. We've improved it.
Those fifth graders from the first show have kids now.
Seriously.
I think we can repeat.
Yeah.
Wow.
And they know, and their kid, the kid in the third row has seen Frozen 16 times in the last 2 months. So.
Right. Yeah. And still watching it. So people are watching this and they're thinking, wow, this is an interesting market. You know, I'd love to leave with something tangible. Like what do you think someone can do if they wanted to touch in? I mean, you guys have an amazing program. I'll talk about that at the end, you know, that really gets people into this market, into the school assembly market. And I love it. But, you know, is there a step you can do if somebody wants to go do something? You know, I know when Zed was in school, I wasn't doing school performances, but there were times when I got invited into just go do something with kids. What are some foolproof things you can do to make all three of those audiences love you and still have fun and bring who you are?
Oh, yeah.
Well, rule number one, like any entertainer, you said the word a minute ago, we have to have fun.
Yeah.
That's rule number one. We have to have a good time.
Yeah.
We have to be confident and comfortable on stage, because if we're not having a fun, comfortable, confident, the audience won't, no matter what age, whether they're teachers or kids. So that's rule number one.
Yeah. And I would say to magicians, a lot of magicians I see, well, a lot of variety performers I see, they don't have any message in their show, which is fine. I mean, it's a fun show. That's exactly what I did. But man, if you could just find one message in your current show and put that into your show, even if it's a birthday party, what if your birthday party show was, hey, friends are the best thing in the world. That's the message. And you just kind of work something into that. At the end of your birthday party, the mother's like, wow, they're walking around thinking the friends are the best thing in the world. That's a huge value that you're in the market. And everyone else is, I do a silly, goofy clown show, which is just about the performer. Mm-hmm. It's not about the audience. I mean, you've got an audience in front of you. You could put one or two little messages in there and they walk out so awesome. They're feeling awesome about themselves.
Right. And try to pick that a message that's not too broad. I think when we started and when some rookie school performers start, their message is too broad and they try to cover way too much.
Yeah. Like 200 years of rock and roll, really.
Yeah, you got it. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, but even like what I'm working on now, kindness. Kindness is a really broad topic. You'd think, hey, that's pretty narrow for one 45-minute show, but it's massive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny to take something – I don't want to say intangible, but it's not something like, that you can actually hold in your hand, this idea of kindness. It's very Dalai Lama and, almost maybe you can only book that in California, but you're finding a lot of content in it.
Yeah.
And that's something. Well, I love the tip about just, finding one thing and narrowing that down because.
Like a good example would be environmentalism. I mean, save the planet. That's huge.
That's too big.
Yeah. But
that's too big.
How can you kids reduce the amount of plastic that gets into the ocean? That'd be a great topic for a show. Everyone's talking about that now. How can you take that plastic and get it to the right spot? And just that one little thing. Don't talk about the carbon. Don't talk about all the other things out there.
Right.
Plastic. And then, of course, take that plastic and focus it down to just the plastic the kids are dealing with and at school. So.
Wow. That's cranking up the zoom lens. I love that. That's really nice. Yeah, that's good. Hey, so what are some school assembly shows that are doing really well in the world? I mean, besides you guys, are they all based curriculum based? Is that what you think is the big draw?
Yeah, that's the only thing I would recommend right now. Don't do arts-based out there. There's reading programs are huge.
Yeah.
Bully programs.
Bully, of course. Bully is really big. Anti-bully.
Is the kindness show, Mark, an offspring of the bullying show?
Yeah. And I think right now with what's happening politically in the world and all that, there seems to be a move towards that. Right now, I think my timing is good.
Yeah.
Wow. So. Boy, did you just date this interview? That's fantastic. Yeah. That's awesome.
Speaking of that, it's interesting with bullies that
although that could apply to any age.
That's true. Right. Yeah.
with the bully thing, a lot of principals have gone through the seminar, and the seminar told them, don't talk about bullies, talk about the positive aspect of friendship. So I've got this show labeled Bye Bye Bully, and there's principals out there that will never book it because I'm talking about bullies. And he's got the show that's about friendship, and they said, that's the same show, but doesn't talk about bullies, and that's why he's got the advantage over some.
Yeah, and I think the recycling is another topic that's pretty good. You're pretty solid.
So basically, anything that feels like it's a real hot button.
Yeah.
Either for the future or we're dealing with kids here. Boy, I love it. And
nutrition, that'd be a great topic.
Have you guys touched that?
We don't know. We don't touch it. We talked about writing a show and it fizzled out. But it's a great show. And the thing about these topics too is also, although it's curriculum based, it's K-6. Doing a math program is really hard for this because first grade math is completely different than third grade, is from fifth grade. So what are you going to talk about? But recycling is the same for all of them. Friendship, same for all of them. And nutrition is the same for everybody. So you can have so there we are. We're talking about focusing down, but we'll broaden it out a little bit so you get everybody under the same umbrella.
I think science-based shows, if you have something science-based.
Yeah. You know what? The women out there that are listening to this, you got to do a science-based show because there is such a big push to get women into science and the magicians, the jugglers out there. Cindy Marvel, I'm talking to you. You got to get out there and talk about science because we need women in science and all the principals are women and they're college educated and they want these girls to grow up and go to college and learn science. So,
I love it. Well, how do you guys decide? I'm just scrolling through a few of your shows here. How do you guys decide if it's going to be a solo show or a team show?
Well, we started out with only solo team shows, duos, and we decided we were, because our prices went up, there were some schools that couldn't afford us anymore. And that's why we decided to start producing a few solo shows so that we could, you know, maybe charge about 30% less. And, and be, so, we just have choices. There's choices in different markets.
So good. Yeah. Well,
solo
shows
travel a lot better too. I've taken them on the planes before, so definitely pack it up and go up to Grass Valley. So
it's so good. Well, you know, the Lamp store in Grass Valley never has anyone walk through the door, but the Kmart is busy all day. So you know, a lot of products is better than one. So I love what you guys are doing. I think it's great.
Yeah. Now, as a team with this the straight man and comic thing works so great at schools because we can. He can play the teacher. I'm the student. He's the guy who knows. I'm the dumb guy. And he can kind of, if any lecturing goes on, it's him lecturing me and the kids laughing at me for not understanding that thing there.
Yeah. And here's something kind of unique about school shows is that the teachers don't want the show to be too silly. If they feel that it's too silly, that kids may not be learning well enough. Mm-hmm. It's not educational. But when you have a straight man, I'm the teacher role. I keep it grounded. I make sure that they get the education that allows his character to go way off, you know, and be crazy. Yeah. And then we have the best of both worlds. With a solo artist, you can still kind of do that, but just not as much.
Yeah. Now, one thing we came up with solo shows is the interruption with an audio track. So like in my character show, my mom keeps calling me up and I'm talking to her and then she's like, kind of getting me on back on track as if I'm getting silly and making mistakes. And she's kind of lecturing and this voice coming over. So,
yeah, that's so good.
Using some puppetry in the new Kindness show. So now I have, they're my comic characters.
Yeah, and it's funny.
Very cheaply.
Yes, exactly. That 30% is
a pig is replacing me. It's terrible.
Well, it's funny hearing you talk about how you're the teacher and he's a student and you can go way out on the limb. Yeah. You know, it's a ventriloquist and dummy relationship in a way.
Yeah. Yep.
Really good.
Thanks.
You guys ever had... What's that?
Thanks. That's great. Yeah.
We know the dummy is here.
I didn't even see Mark's lips move when you said that. Have you guys ever had a critique or feedback from a principal that kind of changed the way you did business?
Sure. Yeah. In fact, we always send out SurveyMonkey surveys every time and hope that teachers and principals fill these out and give us feedback because we want to know what they're thinking.
What made sense to you but came back as feedback and you said, okay, we can never do that again. Maybe save someone who's watching this.
Okay, so here's one example. Mm-hmm. We're in California and a little bit more of a liberal state. And we typically do the typical, okay, how about play a game? How about girls versus the boys? Girls against the boys. Works great. Just always works wonderful. Well, I did a bicycle safety show up in Davis, and Davis is a very liberal town.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
And teachers came up afterward and says, no, don't like the boys with gender sensitivity. Don't like the boys versus girl thing.
Okay. Right. Yeah. That's very big right now. I mean, are probably seeing it. Schools are having a sort of neutral fluid bathrooms and things like that. Wow. That's a big one to tackle. So that's a great tip. Anything else that you kind of got feedback on that you could save somebody one day from hitting the wall?
Yeah. I used to do this thing at the end where I'd get all the kids up and I would say, I am somebody. And they will all say, I am somebody. And I stole it from, who's the activist for, can't think of his name now. Anyway, I am somebody. And a principal came up to me and said, no, it's being somebody is nothing. Say, I am a good person. And I was like, oh yeah, that's what I wanted to say. I am somebody is nothing, but I am a good person. And that's getting that message. That's a better message.
Yeah, sometimes they're very specific like that. Yeah. Sometimes very general. You know?
I know, and we were doing in 200 years, we'd get, at first, I was just getting one teacher up to demonstrate dances. And then a principal said, why don't you get all the teachers up or get five or six? I'm like, yeah, safety in numbers, always. Yeah.
Right.
So, and safety in numbers, and that always comes back to teach us about volunteers. If you can get two or three or four people up there, they all tend to act more open and gregarious because they're not singled out.
Right. You get a little more.
And then, of course, everyone's glad that their teacher's up on stage, and you know the audience loves it more. It's just, it's like, how could I be so stupid to have just one teacher up there? I was like, no, yeah.
Wow. I think just these last three tips, you guys could have saved people a couple of years of hassle, embarrassment, awkwardness, or having to hear that themselves. So thank you.
Well, I got to go into this other technique. We're trying to get all the teachers to come up at this show, and it works 99% of the time.
Really?
99% of the time. And here's what I do. I say, we need to get some we need some volunteers. The kids want volunteers. You know what? Instead of the kids, how about we get teachers? Oh, yeah, the teachers. What teachers should we bring up? Oh, that'd be great. And I'll point to, like, this whole row of teachers that said, yes, you'd be great. And I'm not pointing to anybody specifically. Oh, yes, thank you. Why don't you come on up? Oh, yeah. And it's a technique of getting a standing ovation, right? You're pointing at people and you're giving them a, oh, thank you so much. And they'll stop moving. Oh, and bring your friend up. Oh, yeah, you can come up on too. And I'm not talking to anyone specifically, but they hear it. And it works every time. You get what it takes 30 seconds, but that's the confidence. If I went up there, had any fear that I wouldn't, they'd all sit in their seat. But if I have this confidence, I know you're going to come up. I know you're coming up. They all do every time. And every time I think, oh, is it going to work this time? And it always does.
Wow. Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's really fun. Well, good. You guys, what a share. What a huge share. Anything you feel like you should say to people who may not be in this market but thinking about it one day? Oh
my God. Well, it doesn't happen overnight. I'll just be perfectly honest.
Yep.
Even if you're a pro already, and on the marketing side, it takes a couple, maybe 2 years. You might be able to do it in a year, but you got to be patient.
Yeah. You can get 10 shows in a year.
Yeah. It takes momentum. We're booked solidly. We make a good living doing it. Yeah. But it's taken some time, you know. Of course, we made a lot of mistakes. There's things that had we known, we would have, you know, the path would have been a lot faster.
Yeah.
But so be patient. That takes a little bit of time. And let's see, what else did I want to say? You basically have to really find out the perfect topic and do research, talk to a few principals. Mm-hmm. It's good to have some educators consult you.
Yeah, and make it a topic that you care about, like drugs. I don't want to do a drug. I never did drugs. I don't really have any feelings about drugs. I don't have a story to tell. So I don't want to talk about drugs, even though that might be something out there. Make it a topic that you want.
On the way out, I know there's another kind of market that I wouldn't say you guys are in. You're more in the assembly market, but there's also this youth speaking market. Have you guys ever tried touching into that, or what are the big differences?
What I mean, speaking to youth or youth speaking to?
Well, I mean, I've been to a couple of speakers who the school has come in and they're not doing any kind of an assembly. It is an assembly, but it's like a power motivation or life-changing talk.
Yeah, I've seen videos of guys like that, and I'm so envious because they got no props.
No props.
15 right. minutes before showtime.
Michael Pritchard does that.
Michael Pritchard's doing some. Yeah.
Yeah.
You guys doing that, but that's never been a place you guys have gone into.
I think we're kind of slowly moving that way in a way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, this is funny.
We're still entertainers at heart, you know? Even Michael Pritchard is dead in comic, you know?
Yeah.
Totally. I
love
the singing.
I love props. I love props. I really do.
Oh, my gosh. It's so fun. And it separates us, you know, from the talking head. So it's wow, really good. So good. Yeah. Hey, Kent, thank you guys enough, man. Thanks for getting back to the community. It's really been fun.
Oh, yeah. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah.
Talking about it.
Maybe we'll continue talking about the show of show business a little bit more. It's really good.
Yeah, cool.
Good, man. Hey, I'll talk to you guys. Hang on one second. Let me kill the recording.
We haven't talked about our program.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't hit stop record yet. Talk about what you're doing for people who want to get into this market.
We have a program called Perform School Assembly. So everything you learned here, well, we've got 50 50 videos,
yeah,
online. We've got templates to download for emails. We have audio tracks if you want sound effects in the background of your show, play on music, play off music for whatever. What else we got? We have a weekly email that comes out.
We have a secret Facebook page just for the group, you know. Yeah.
If you go to performschoolassemblies.com, you could sign up, watch a couple of free episodes, and check it out.
We get into a lot of details on how to really set this up to really be successful.
Yeah, I was lucky enough to be hanging around kind of the early development of this thing. And man, you guys so didn't leave any single stone unturned, which was just incredible. And yeah, really good. I'll just show a quick screenshot of it. Sorry, I almost forgot that. Or I did forget it. But yeah, this is where you guys can head over, performschoolassemblies.com, and you have different ways to do this. Wow, $1,000. You should make less than that. You should make more than that in one school, in a school day, I'm sure.
Yeah. You're going to pay for this easy. You do this, two shows, two schools, and you're ahead of the game already.
And even better than that, we're gonna save you a year or two of wasted time.
Yeah,
yeah. And as if that isn't the only thing that really matters, especially at anyone who's probably over 40 and let alone 50, it's like money replaces itself, time does not, and that's so good. So, wow, congratulations!
Thank you very much.
Thanks for remembering to plug your program. I'm a bad human being. I did not mean to do that. All right, you guys. Talk to you soon.
Okay, Barry. Take care. Bye. Bye-bye.
All right, I'm still here. I stopped our recording.